My name is Alan Morris, and today we're going to be talking about Timothy. We're going to be dealing with Timothy, a verse-by-verse study in the book of Timothy. I would like for you to get your Bibles out and your pencils and papers, and this is going to be truly a Bible study. And I think the only way you can learn is be able to write these things down, circle things in your Bible, write in the margins of your Bible, do whatever you can do to be able to understand this Word of God. And this is what we're going to go through it verse by verse. Timothy was written by Paul, of course, and it was written when it was written to Timothy. He was writing this in Laodicea, and he was from Lystra. Now this was all in Turkey. Lystra was in the central part of Turkey. Laodicea was in the western part of Turkey, about 100 miles from the coast of the Aegean Sea. Anyway, and Timothy was one of the people who Paul befriended virtually as a son, and got to know him very well, and he took him on his second journey, missionary journey. But he's writing this letter to him to tell him how the churches ought to conduct themselves, about the pastors and the deacons and the people who work in the churches, what they're supposed to do and what their qualifications are. And he's doing this so that the church has an idea how this new church, the body of Christ, should be operated. And so, in order to do so, he had penned this letter to him. And Timothy was a minister in these churches for years. In fact, I think pretty much so, he was a person who looked for people who could become ministers, and he would lay hands upon them. But he had a gift that God gave him, that he could find ministers for churches to preach the gospel, see? Because that's all that Paul preached, was the gospel. And so today we're going to start on this. We don't know how long it's going to take. We're going to do this, but we're just going to do it as long as we can. And whatever time it is, I'll shut down about 27 minutes, and then I'll start up a part two. So we're in part one of 1 Timothy, and just start in chapter 1, verse 1. Chapter 1 and verse 1 in 1 Timothy. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So what we have to understand is that Paul truly was an apostle and chosen by God, as it says here. Let's turn in our Bibles back to Acts. We've done this before, but this is important. We learn by repetition. But let's turn back to Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And this is about when Saul of Tarsus was going to... He was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to capture all the people that he could that believed that Christ was the Messiah. And God stopped him in his tracks. Jesus did. And when he did that, he had a turnaround, a tremendous turnaround. All of a sudden, he really realized that Jesus was the Messiah, the same person that he was persecuting now has came to him. And look at verses 15, and this is what I'm talking about. He was a chosen person from God himself as an apostle. It says, verse 15, Acts chapter 9, verses 15, it says, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. This is all at Tarsus. To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was chosen directly. It was Saul at that time, but he changed his name to Paul because he was so much involved in destroying the Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So he changed his name so people were scared of the name of Saul. Most of them hadn't seen him, but they knew his name. And he changed his name to Paul. And so he was a chosen vessel by God. And this is what Paul's trying to tell people, that he was a chosen vessel. And he's writing this letter. But look what it says in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You see, our hope is totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because Jesus was the only person who could pay the sin debt for mankind. Mankind was totally corrupt, had no chance whatsoever of ever being in heaven until Christ died on that cross. And he was the only one that could do it because he was God. See, he's the Son of God, took on a human body, and that body name was Jesus. And that body was completely filled with not only the Holy Spirit, but filled with God the Father and God the Son was walking on this earth, all in one on this earth. And he was the only hope because he was the only human being that was perfect that could ever die and pay the sin debt. That he had to be perfect, see. For many, many years, thousands of years, God had told people they had to take an animal and it had to die to pay for the sins of this family. Once a year they brought an animal. It had to be perfect. But Jesus was the perfect animal for the human beings. And he was going to die on that cross to pay for our sin. He was our only hope because no one could go to heaven. No one could go to heaven until Christ paid the sin debt. Even the Old Testament saints, they couldn't go. They couldn't go. Adam couldn't go to heaven. Abel couldn't go to heaven. Noah and his family couldn't go to heaven. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, none of those could go to heaven. Even Moses couldn't go to heaven, and Joshua, and all the judges, and all of the kings, all of the prophets couldn't. None of them could go to heaven. They all died, and where did they go? They went to paradise. See. They went to paradise. They couldn't go to heaven. They were declared righteous because they believed God. But you see, the sin debt hadn't been paid for. But when Christ died on that cross and paid for the sin, he went down to paradise. You can read that in Luke 16 and also in Ephesians chapter 4. It said that he went down and he told these people that he had paid the sin debt. And then and only then could he take them to heaven. So he was our only hope. Christ was our only hope. He was the God-man that was perfect. And he could die on that cross. And so then verse 2, it says, unto Timothy, our own son, in the faith. Now, we've got to understand there's many things that Paul talks about. And they allude to one thing. When Paul is talking about faith, he is talking about the gospel, the son in the faith. When he deals with faith, he's talking about gospel. Let me show you that. Let's turn back to Colossians chapter 1. Turn back to the left to the Colossians, and just look at chapter 1, and just look at verses. Let's say 21. I tell you, the Colossians. We did a study in that one time, but I don't know if I did it just or not. But anyway, it's a fantastic book. Anyway, Colossians chapter 1, verses 21, it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. Okay, now look real close now. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameable, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You see, he died on that cross, and when he did that, he could present us holy and unblameable, unreprovable, because he paid for our sins, see, in his sight. Now, when we believe the gospel, we just have to believe what he did. See, that's the gospel, okay? But then it says, verse 23, there's if there, just like in the gospel, it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, you see, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So what is the faith? Not he grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. When he's talking about faith, he's talking about the gospel. Because you see, faith in anything other than the gospel is erroneous. I mean, you have to have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's in what he did on that cross for our salvation. And Paul says, if this is the most important thing in the Bible, is that you have to believe the gospel for your salvation, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, that's by which you also are saved. See, the gospel. And it's always, when he talks about faith, he's talking about the gospel. We're going to talk more about the gospel for you that haven't heard it, but we'll be talking about it. So when you hear Paul talk about faith, it's always in the gospel, because the gospel is the only place there's salvation for mankind. It's because the death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. And then it says, and grace. Grace is tremendously important. You've got to understand what grace is. Grace means unmerited favor. That means God did it all on the cross. Christ did it all. Everything. He asked you to do nothing except believe what he did on that cross, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's all he asked you to do, and he takes it from there. There's nothing you add to it, because he did it all. Somebody says, well, I've got to do something for my salvation. Are you, telling Jesus that what he did on that cross wasn't sufficient for you? I don't think so. But that's what the churches do. They tell you a whole bunch of things you should do. Today, the churches have been totally compromised by Satan himself, adding to the gospel, because Satan knows if you add anything to the gospel will have no effect for you. And that's what he wants. He doesn't want you to be saved. If a pastor tells you that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, run from him. The only thing you can be saved in is believing the gospel. If a pastor tells you, you've got to believe in Jesus to be saved, run from him. Because it's not believing in Jesus. Jesus didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did. Because what he did is what saved you, see. He died on that cross, you see. And he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's grace. And of course, grace extends mercy to us, because we are sinners, but his mercy comes upon us when we believe the gospel by the grace of God, see. And then it says, and peace. Peace. This is something that the people don't understand. You see, the peace from God. You see, God today looks down on this earth, and he sees the people, and the people who do not accept his son's death on that cross. He doesn't have peace for them. He has the opposite of peace. You know, it's wrath. It's wrath on him. It truly makes him upset and mad because of what Jesus went through on that cross. And all he asks you to do is believe it, see, for your salvation. That's the gospel. All he's asking you to do is believe what he did on that cross to pay for your sins, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. That's all he asks you to do. And you turn around and say, well, no, I just believe in Jesus. Well, believing in Jesus doesn't necessarily mean you believe that he died on the cross, that he was buried and rose from the dead, you see. There's lots of people that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that Christ died for their sins. The Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that Jesus died for their sins and they was buried and rose from the dead. Many different churches today, they don't believe it. The people are coming out of seminaries, these young men out of seminaries, they don't even believe that Jesus died. Oh, he just was in a coma, you know. They don't believe that it's a virgin birth. Oh, that's ridiculous. It's the most important thing in the world. Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because if he was born a man, instead of God, he would have been born with the sin nature, and he couldn't have been perfect to pay the price. He had to be perfect in order to pay the price, the sin debt for mankind. If he was born a man, he could not have done that. See, because he would have had a sin nature just like you and I did. And no matter what we do, we can't get rid of that sin nature except when we believe the gospel. Christ, then we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God moves in and lives with us, see. Lives with us the rest of our life, see. And with God living in you, you can walk away from any sin that there ever was. Because God's going to do that for you. He's going to work through you, and He will do it. You see, God gives you a tremendous power when you believe the gospel. And then when God looks at you, we have peace. We have peace with God. And it's tremendously important. Just look at verse 3. It says, As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went on to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine. On his second missionary journey, Paul took Timothy with him, and he left him at Ephesus. Ephesus is right on the coastline on the Adriatic Sea. And he was sitting right on the edge in this town of Ephesus, which there was a church there that was put together that believed the gospel. And these people were Gentiles. And that's why when Paul, in Ephesians, it talks about that. Paul talks about the word of truth, he tells you in Ephesians 1:13, he said, when you believe the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. He was talking Ephesians to the Gentiles, to you and me. Our salvation was based on the gospel. And when you believe that, when you believe the gospel for your salvation, see, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is where that verse came from. And it was in the doctrine that was taught in Ephesus. But they were changing the doctrines. Paul fought it constantly in the churches. And what was happening was that there was always a synagogue. Jews had a synagogue in about every town in the whole country, in the whole world. They scattered out all, every place he went, there was a synagogue. And the Jews, some of those Jews, believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And they would come to these people in the Gentile churches and say, look, you just can't believe in Jesus for your salvation, or believe the gospel, or whatever you, but it's Jesus they're dealing with. He said, we believe in Jesus. You see, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Jews did. But he said, but you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. You have to keep the law in order to be saved. And so Paul told Timothy to go to this church to make sure they're teaching no other doctrine. What doctrine were they talking about? The doctrine of the gospel. Now, we're going to get to that in verse 11, but you have to just believe what I'm telling you now, because he shows you exactly, when he talks about doctrine, he's always talking about the gospel. And what was happening, these people were coming in, they were saying, verse 4, neither give heed to fables, endless genealogies, with ministers questioning, rather than the godly edifying, which is in the faith, or the gospel, so do. He just told them to go to the faith or to the gospel. Now, the end of the commandments is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, or the gospel sincere. You know, totally sincerity in the gospel. Faith in the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, providing eternal life for everybody that believes it. That's why the faith in it is the most important thing. It's what God did on that cross, what Jesus did. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And as soon as you believe that, you were saved. And he gives you eternal life and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 6, it says, from some having swerved from turned aside to vain jangling. You know, go on to 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. It says, But we know that the law is good, if a man uses it lawfully. Know this, that the law is not made for the righteous man. See, the law was never made for the righteous man. It was made for the sinner. You see, and he goes and says, because the righteous man doesn't need the law. In other words, if you believe the gospel for your salvation and Christ lives in you, you don't need a law. You have a law unto yourself, and that is Christ living in you, and he won't ever point you to anything that's sin. never points you to sin. He always points you to a closer walk with the Lord. And that's the only way we can live a Christian life, is when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit in order to be. That's the power that God gives you when you believe the gospel, and you only get it when you believe the gospel. And in Romans chapter 8, we won't turn there, but in verses 9, Paul says, Romans chapter 8, write it down, verses 9, tremendous, says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not of His. You don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're not of His. In other words, you haven't believed the gospel. Yeah, I went for 70 years and never believed the gospel for my salvation. Oh, I believe that Christ died, and I believe He was buried and rose again. But it was just a fact in my life that I didn't equate it with the gospel, with salvation. I was always told to believe in Jesus, take Jesus as my Savior. But that isn't what the book says. The book never mentions taking Jesus as your Savior. It says believe the gospel. And the gospel, as Paul laid it out in 1 Corinthians 15, is that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. See? So we don't need the law. But it goes on in verse 9. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy and profane, and murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, and manslayers, whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manslayers, for liars, perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. See, all this is contrary to sound doctrine. Then it's not a period there. It's a semicolon. It says, what's sound doctrine? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So what is doctrine? It is the gospel. That's what Paul preached, the gospel. That's the only doctrine that he preached for all those years. And he taught it to every person that walked on this earth. That's what he did. And it was committed to Paul's trust. Just fantastic. Let's just look at, go back to Colossians again and look at Colossians 1:23. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 23, it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. See, the faith is gospel. It also is our doctrine, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where am I, Paul, am made a minister. You see, and that's what his job was to do, to preach this gospel to every person. And usually the churches don't preach the gospel today. I've been in church my whole life. I'm an old man, and I have yet to find a church that preached the gospel. I went to a gospel chapel once, and I asked them, do you believe in the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead for your salvation? And they said, we do not. We do not. That's the word they said. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. You see. But that isn't Jesus. There's nothing about taking Jesus as your Savior in this book. It's always pointed to the gospel. And then He becomes your Savior. You see. That's the difference. Jesus is my Savior because I do what He told me to do. And Jesus told me to believe the gospel for my salvation. You see, and when I believed that gospel, then I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. I never had the Holy Spirit my whole life until I believed the gospel. But when I believed the gospel, Christ came into me and changed my life totally. Totally. And He'll do the same thing for you. I don't care what situation you're in. He'll change your life. God living in you. And look what it says out here on 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It only comes by believing the gospel and being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Christ now lives in you. And He's the hope of glory, see. And He's living in you. and He'll never leave you. He'll be with you until the last, till God comes in a rapture, or where He comes in your death. So, according to verse 11, back to the text, chapter 1, verse 11, it says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed unto my trust. And that's all, like I say, that's all He preached to every person under the earth, under heaven, see, this gospel. And look what it says next, verse 12. It says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He counted him faithful. You see, I feel the same way. I just feel totally, totally joyed and overwhelmed that God would account me faithful to teach the gospel at my age, to teach the gospel. But He did. And I just praise Him for it, being able to teach this gospel so that people could come to salvation. Because there isn't anybody around this country that's doing it. Oh, there's places there is, and I praise the Lord for it. And I pray that somehow the people would wake up around here. But the churches here do not preach the gospel. I haven't found a church even to go to that preaches the gospel. And it just breaks my heart. But that's the way it is. It says, who was before, we're going to have to stop here for a second, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. So he was totally against God's. He did everything he could do to destroy Jesus and his people that believed that these Jews that believed that he was the Messiah. And it says, 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with the faith and love which was in Christ Jesus. He was, you know, and it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy for all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We'll stop right there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But we'll stop here. The Father, we thank you for this opportunity to teach these words and just be with each and every person here that opened their mind to understand the gospel and understand your word. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.